The Imitation of Christ by Thomas A. Kempis. Continuing Book 4, Chapter 7. Of the Examination of One's Own Conscience, and of a Resolution of Amendment. Christ continues, Having confessed and bewailed thine defects with sorrow, and a great dislike of thine own weakness, make a strong resolution always to amend thy life, and to advance in virtue. Then, with a full resignation, and with thy whole will, offer thyself up to the honor of my name, on the altar of thy heart, as a perpetual holocaust, by committing faithfully to me both thy soul and body, that so thou mayest be worthy to approach, to offer up sacrifice to God, and to receive for thy salvation the sacrament of my body. For there is no oblation more worthy, nor satisfaction greater for washing away sins, than with the oblation of the body of Christ, in the Mass and in the Communion, to offer up thyself purely and entirely to God. If a man does what lies in him, and is truly penitent, as often as he shall come to me for pardon and grace, as I live, saith the Lord God, I desire not the death of the sinner, but that he should be converted from his ways, and live. I will no longer remember his iniquities, but all shall be forgiven him. Chapter 8. Of the Oblation of Christ on the Cross, and of our own resignation. Christ, as I willingly offered myself to God my Father for thy sins, with my hands stretched out upon the cross, and my body naked, so that nothing remained in me which was not turned into a sacrifice to appease the divine wrath, even so must thou willingly offer thyself to me daily in the Mass, for a pure and holy oblation, together with all thy powers and affections, as heartily as thou art able. What do I require more of thee than that thou endeavor to resign thyself entirely to me? Whatsoever thou givest besides thyself, I regard not, for I seek not thy gift, but thyself. As it would not suffice thee if thou hadst all things but me, so neither can it please me whatever thou givest, as long as thou offerest not thyself. Offer thyself to me, and give thy whole self for God, and thine offering will be accepted. Behold, I offered my whole self to the Father for thee, and have given my whole body and blood for thy food, that I might be all thine, and thou mightest be always mine. But if thou wilt stand upon thine own self, and wilt not offer thyself freely to my will, thine offering is not perfect, nor will there be an entire union between us. Therefore, before all thy works, thou must make a free oblation of thyself into the hands of God, if thou desire to obtain liberty and grace. For the reason why so few become illuminated and internally free is because they do not wholly renounce themselves. My sentence stands firm. Unless a man renounce all, he cannot be my disciple. If, therefore, thou desire to be my disciple, offer up thyself to me with all thine affections. Chapter 9. That we must offer ourselves and all that is ours to God, and pray for all. Disciple. Lord, all things are thine that are in heaven and earth. I desire to offer myself up to thee as a voluntary oblation, and to remain forever thine. Lord, in the sincerity of my heart, I offer myself to thee this day to be thy servant evermore, to serve thee, and to become a sacrifice of perpetual praise to thee. Receive me with this sacred oblation of thy precious body, which I offer to thee this day, in the presence of thine angels invisibly standing by, that it may be for mine and all the people's salvation. Lord, I offer to thee all my sins and offenses which I have committed in thy sight and that of thy holy angels, from the day that I was first capable of sin until this hour, upon thy propitiatory altar, that thou mayest burn and consume them all with the fire of thy charity, and remove all the stains of my sins, and cleanse my conscience from all offenses, and restore me to thy grace, which I have lost by sin, by fully pardoning me all, and mercifully receiving me to the kiss of peace. What can I do for my sins but humbly confess them, and lament them, and incessantly implore thy mercy for them? Hear me, I beseech thee, in thy mercy, where I stand before thee, O my God. All my sins displease me exceedingly. I will never commit them any more. I am sorry for them, and will be sorry for them as long as I live. I am willing to do penance for them, and to make satisfaction to the utmost of my power. Forgive, O my God, forgive me my sins for thy holy name's sake. Save my soul, which thou hast redeemed with thy precious blood. Behold, I commit myself to thy mercy. I resign myself into thy hands. Deal with me according to thy goodness, not according to my wickedness and iniquity. I offer also to thee all the good I have, though very little and imperfect, that thou mayest make it better and sanctify it, that thou mayest be pleased with it, and make it acceptable to thee, and perfect it more and more, and mayest moreover bring me, who am a slothful and unprofitable wretch, to a good and happy end. I offer to thee also all the godly desires of thy devout servants, the necessities of my parents, friends, brethren, sisters, and all of those that are dear to me, and of all such as, for the love of thee, have been benefactors to me or others, or who have desired and begged of me to offer up prayers and masses for themselves and all that belong to them, whether they live as yet in the flesh, or whether they are now departed out of this world, that they all may be sensible of the assistance of thy grace, of the benefit of thy comfort, of thy protection from dangers, and of a deliverance from their pains, and that, being freed from all evils, they may with joy give worthy thanks to thee. I offer up also to thee my prayers and this sacrifice of propitiation for those in particular who have in anything wronged, grieved, or abused me, or have done me any damage or displeasure, and for all those likewise whom I have at any time grieved, troubled, injured, or scandalized by word or deed, knowingly or unknowingly, that it may please thee to forgive us all our sins and offenses, one against another. Take, O Lord, from our hearts all jealousy, indignation, wrath, and contention, and whatsoever may hurt charity and lessen brotherly love. Have mercy, O Lord. Have mercy on those that crave thy mercy. Give grace to them that stand in need thereof, and grant that we may be worthy to enjoy thy grace, and that we may attain to life everlasting. Amen. Chapter 10. That the Holy Communion is not lightly to be omitted. Christ. Thou oughtest often to have recourse to the fountain of grace and of divine mercy, to the fountain of all goodness and all purity, that thou mayest be healed of thy passions and vices, and be made more strong and vigilant against all the temptations and deceits of the devil. The enemy, knowing the very great advantage and remedy which is in the Holy Communion, strives by all means and occasions, as much as he is able, to withdraw and hinder faithful and devout persons from it. For when some are preparing themselves for the sacred communion, they suffer the greater assaults of Satan. This wicked spirit, as it is written in Job, cometh amongst the sons of God to trouble them with his accustomed malice, or to make them over fearful and perplexed, that so he may diminish their devotion, or by his assaults take away their faith, so that perhaps they may altogether omit the communion, or at least approach it with tepidity. But there is no regard to be paid to his wiles and suggestions, be they ever so filthy and abominable, but all his attempts are to be turned back upon his own head. The wretch is to be condemned and scorned, nor is the Holy Communion to be omitted for his assaults and the commotions which he causes. This has been taken from The Imitation of Christ by Thomas A. Kempis, translated by Bishop Richard Challoner. This work is available through Tan Books and Publishers. You can contact them at 1-800-437-5876 or on the web at www.tanbooks.com. This work is in the public domain.